Well, you mentioned the naughty chair,
yes.
And anyone who watches television has probably seen Super Nanny.
Yes.
And Jo Frost, who's the host of that program, she often sends or advises parents to send their children to the naughty chair or the naughty step, mm-hmm. I guess, in the house. How valid do you think the advice that parents are getting from Super Nanny and Nanny 411, how valid is it?
I think there are elements of it that are great. And she is such a colorful character. You can't help but love her. But I do disagree with the naughty chair and the naughty step. First off, the name is, I just really disagree with the name. Naughty chair. I'm labeling
it's the label.
You as
okay.
naughty. So that is
self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right. Okay. It's so discouraging. And then there's a clip that I show to parents in classes, which is from Super Nanny, and where she puts the child in the naughty chair because he's misbehaved. Well, no sooner does she turn around and that child is up out of the naughty chair running around the house. And so Super Nanny or mom have to drag the child back to the naughty chair, sit him down, explain why he's there again, adds another minute. She walks away. This thing happens again and again. And in this clip, after I think it's 56 minutes of this nonsense going on, the nanny says, "Well, that really worked now, didn't it?" And I'm thinking, no parent in their right mind is going to go through 56 minutes of chasing the child in and out of the naughty chair. It's just creating a power struggle.
And words are important because you talk in your book about the difference between praising our child for doing
yes.
something well and encouraging them. What's the difference? And give us a concrete example of why it makes a difference.
Praise would be kind of those flowery labels. You're so awesome. You're so smart. It's not very specific. And we talked about this a little bit today in the presentation, is when you say something like, "You're so smart," that creates a label for the child to wear. And the research shows that when kids are praised for being smart, they become very concerned about protecting that smart label. And in the research studies, kids who were praised for being smart were less likely to take on more challenging tasks. They may be less likely to take a more challenging course, an AP or an honors course, because, well, what if they don't get an A? Are they no longer smart? So we really advocate not praising, not doing the flowery, "You're so awesome, you're so smart" type of praise, and instead encourage or praise helpfully is another way to describe it. So encourage hard work, perseverance. You know, you were really so thoughtful with your brother today when you did X. So make it very specific. Think about, is this something that my child could repeat in other areas? Those are the things that we want to encourage.
So instead of just congratulating them for the A, say, "That work
yes.
really paid off."
Right. So we get all excited about A's on the report card, but what about that is important? The hard work, the extra study time, going the extra mile and going to a help class. Those are things that really make a difference and that they can repeat whether they're on the basketball court, in class, or at their first part-time job.
I was reading a little bit about Benjamin Spock in mm-hmm. preparation for this interview, and it was kind of fascinating because when his first book came out, it sold 750,000 mm-hmm. copies the first year. And that scared him a little bit because he felt this enormous responsibility and he feared a little bit that some of his information could be misunderstood.
Yes.
And then in reading about you, I saw people blogging saying that when they get into a situation, a power struggle, for example, with their child, they often think, "What would Amy McCready do?" And I'm wondering if you feel the pressure, you know, to get this right, and that there are a lot of people relying on your information.
Yes, I feel tremendous pressure. And it's funny, in, you know, whether you're on the Today Show or it's a Facebook post, very often information today is given in little blurbs. You know, it's a little four-minute segment on TV or it's a little Facebook post, and you can't really expand on it and explain all of the facets and what if this happens and what if that happens.
The nuances.
So that's exactly. So that's what I worry about. I think, oh, they're going to take this so literally, but I haven't had the opportunity to explain, well, if this happens, we should go in this direction. So I never feel like I can give a full enough picture for how the strategy should be used.
And of course, that's where the book comes in.
That's right.
All right. What book have you read recently that you would recommend to others?
Well, one book, and I know I'm going to get the subtitle wrong on this, it's Quiet. I think it's called Quiet, and it's about children who are more introverted and how we as a society, as parents and as teachers, respond to those kids. So that's one that I recommend. The other one I'm going to recommend is an older book, but I will tell you it is one of my all-time favorites. And it's called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids... and Listen So Kids Will Talk.
Oh, that's a great title.
It is a great title, and it is one of those go-to books that I have gone to over and over again. But the primary message is the way we respond to kids and the way that we talk to them will either invite power struggles or it will invite two-way communication. It will invite openness and it will further the relationship. So I think that is one of my probably all-time favorite parenting books. And it's by, I'm going to get this wrong to you, Maslisch, Faber and Maslisch. So How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk.
Now, your classes, your positive parenting solution, you do this in person, you also do this online. And as a result of that, people from all over the world literally mm-hmm. have used it. Are the principles in that book universal, whether you are raising a child in Du Bois Saudi Arabia, for example?
Absolutely they are, because they are all based on those principles of Adlerian psychology, which is rooted in our hardwired need for belonging and significance. So if we always start with the root of the problem, it doesn't matter where you are, what country you're in, or what culture you are raising your kids in, those strategies work. Now, again, there are always different cultural influences that we, that come into that. Also, children with learning differences. Again, these strategies will also work. Sometimes we tweak things a little bit, but the same principles apply.
But part of that principle is that families are democracies.
Yes. So that creates a little bit of a difference. And sometimes when I have a family that is, raising a child in a culture where that is not the case, we kind of have to talk about that. So, there are always things that we can adapt based on the family dynamic, the family constellation. If it's still a household where dad rules the house and mom and kids fall in line, becomes a little bit more challenging for mom, but we can kind of work through that.
Make our kids praise junkies. We're constantly mm-hmm. praising them. They're beautiful. They're smart. They're athletic. But in reality, you say a lot of parents on the one side we're doing that, and on the other side we're telling them don't do this and that's wrong. And you said there are 432 negative comments that a child hears each day versus 32 positive comments.
Yes.
So it sounds like we've got a tug of war going on with ourselves.
Yes. Well, if you think about the communication that a child hears on a daily basis, and if you would just sort of take a step back and listen to yourself, how much of that communication is negative and how much is positive? And the thing about perception is that it is cumulative. So if a child continues to hear don't or don't do that, stop doing that, you're bad or whatever those negative comments are, that perception is cumulative. The good news is that perception is cumulative. So if we start doing more encouraging, positive, not praise, but truly encouraging, hard work, perseverance, all of those things all of those character traits that we want to see in our child, if we start encouraging those, we can shift the balance. So one of the best ways to change negative behavior is to say nothing. Stop with the don'ts, stop with the corrections, stop with all of that negative reinforcement. Don't say a word about that. You have to let some stuff go, but then really focus on the encouragement instead.
Well, what I love too is that you say, the no commands, the don't commands,
yes.
We have to double process them. So don't walk down the stairs with your hand on the wall.
Right.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
So instead, tell your child, use the handrail.
Exactly. Yes.
So simple.
Don't make it so hard on me. Just tell me what you want me to do. But so often we say don't, but for a young child, you're right, they have to double process. What am I not supposed to do? Okay, what am I supposed to do instead? And then it also puts that thought in their mind. You can sit here, but don't touch your sister.
Well, I wasn't even going to touch
my
sister.
But now that you mention it, I think I'll do that.